You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase. Telling you what, Decked is a game changer. Decked has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Decked drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Decked.com/meat eater to receive free shipping. Go to Decked.com/meat eater. Get yourself some free shipping.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Brody Henderson, Chester Floyd, Hayden Samick, Randall Williams, Dan Chumbler, and Sam James. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the Shelby Index. Shelby is my wife, and as someone who isn't much of a subject matter expert, she tends to get about half as many questions right as the winner
episode. But usually more than some people in the room.
That does happen, yeah.
Quite often, actually. That's
my number to hit.
She would be like a pretty good player.
There was one episode, actually, where she had gotten six and our winner had gotten six. And then when I went home, I gave her the tiebreaker and she beat Yanni on the tiebreaker.
Wow.
So that's happened one time.
Yeah, she'd be like a pretty legit player.
Now, I introduced this barometer last year as a way to gauge how difficult rounds of trivia are. And here are the results. The Shelby Index has been dead nuts 9 out of 19 episodes, which is 47% of the time. Her average score for those 19 episodes was 3.8, while the average winning score for those episodes was a 7.3. That means her average score is 52% of the average winning score. So it's pretty close.
I'm gonna say that again, I got lost.
So her average on those 19 episodes was 3.8. And the average winning score on those episodes was 7.3. So she's getting 52% of the amount of points that our winner gets.
That's what you always say.
That's what I say, but now we have the data to prove it. It was just anecdotal before. Now we know it's there.
That's a good stat.
Here's our 0%er question of the week. This is a question that nobody got right from episode 349. Here it is. According to Anthony Bourdain, you should never order seafood from a restaurant on what day of the week?
Monday.
Monday, you're right. The incorrect answers we had given that episode were Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. The correct answer, though, was Monday. That was a quote from Bourdain's 2000 book, which he later retracted, saying that seafood markets and restaurant standards have changed in the last two decades. Now, we also have some housekeeping to get to before we play. In a previous game of trivia, I asked what gender-specific term refers to an uncastrated adult male horse. The correct answer was stallion, but about a dozen listeners wrote in asking if I'd also accept stud. I looked it up, and the definition of a stud is, quote, a stallion kept especially for breeding. So, if you said stud, I'd consider that a correct answer. I don't think we had anybody in the room, though, who said stud that day.
If you hadn't been riding on a Tennessee stud.
What's that song?
It's just listening. Keep going. Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who wrote it.
Maybe.
I don't think he wrote it.
Probably not.
What's his name?
The blind, he had the nerve. Blind, he had the blood.
Doc Watson.
Roll
maybe.
That.
Maybe. No, probably not. It's probably older.
Chester, tell us about that hat. You look like you rode in on a Tennessee stud.
I didn't. just to clarify. But Steve got me a beaver hat. It's really nice, warm, good ice fishing hat.
Yeah, there's going to be sweat rolling down your face at the end of this episode.
Well, he's going to be pulling, like, all those hairs pull information out of the atmosphere, man.
Yeah,
it's like little antennas, dude.
If I win today, I'm wearing this for every single trivia.
You can't take it off.
Episode.
Okay, man, my kid just had to, like, at my kid's school, they have a project where they got to bring in 1,000 of something, like a collection of 1,000 of something.
What are some examples of what other kids are doing?
Seashells.
Okay,
real standard. I had a big patch of deer hide, about 18 inches square. That a dude gave me that was from a melanistic deer.
Mm.
So you would like just a, not even like off the edge. I took a pair of fly tying scissors and just off the edge removed 1,000 hairs off the edge.
How do you know that?
Counted them. What do you think? No. We made a pile of 100 and then we eyeballed that pile real careful. And made 9 more piles that looked exactly the same as that pile. So then he brought those in a baggie, but with the hunk of deer hide. And he's like, here's my collection. Now I ask you, how many hairs are on this chunk of deer hide? Right. How many hairs are on this chunk of deer hide?
Then he got sent to the principal's office.
No, to which the answer is be like millions. I don't know, a million.
Yeah, that's
1,000, easy.
That's pretty cool.
And that's just a little hunk of hide.
It's different.
Did you feel bad cutting hair off the melanistic
hide?
Dude,
you don't understand. It's like, you can't tell. It was just like, we went along the edge.
Oh, it was like an inch of hair you took off.
No, it wasn't that. We went along the edge. Like, you would, you could just with one little tip of the, just went along the edge.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell. Like, there's a border.
Mm-hmm.
We just went along the one, not even like one wall of one border.
And did he get some white ones in there or not?
No, it's like, it's pretty dark.
Mm. Good on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also in a previous game,
Sam's
learned...
lost some thought about
it. No, I was just thinking this may not be right, but I recall reading or hearing that the fur on a seal is so dense that there's 20,000 hairs per square inch.
I think otters. Yeah. Wow. I think otters may have the densest.
Good on you, Brody. We had somebody write in suggesting that as a trivia question as to what mammal has the densest hair.
Wow.
And I tried to
fact
check it.
Damn it, I got that one
right. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't feel good about the sources. They said sea otter.
Well, the reason we wound up with that deer, if you wanted to actually hear more about this,
sure.
We tried it with coyote. Impossible. Impossible.
Just too fine to deal with? Yeah.
There's so much of it. Yeah. You can't, it's like, you could never, it would, you can't do it. We looked at a muskrat. We looked at a coyote. We looked at a skunk's tail. And the reason we had to go with that deer is because you can't separate them. Yeah, you take a little snip of it. You can't, you're like, I don't know, thousands. Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder how many fibers there is in a turkey beard.
Now, if we did Brody's head, dude, we'd have had the whole damn head.
Yep. Scalped. You wouldn't have got to 1,000.
But his little,
sure.
His beard, I don't know, man.
Well, square. That's what I can't get over about that hat of Chester's is it looks as much like a beaver wig as it does a hat. It looks like it's so perfectly.
It's good.
Chester needs some big old buck teeth now, man.
Now, also in a previous game, we learned that squirrels cause the most power outages in America and that jellyfish are also near the top of the list. Steve wanted to know how jellyfish can pull that off, so I looked it up, and here's what I found. Jellyfish can cause major power outages by getting clogged in the intake pipes of power plants. This can happen worldwide, but the most extreme example was in the Philippines in 1999. That's where a bloom of jellyfish drifted too close to a coal power plant and got sucked into its pumps. The event knocked out power for 40 million people and wasn't remedied until cleanup crews extracted 50 tons of jellyfish from the plant's pipes.
A bloom of jellyfish.
A bloom of jellyfish. I had read that they can be a swarm, a bloom, or a swat, something like that.
Interesting.
Some weird group names for
How
jellyfish.
How about a group of rhinos? Do you know what that is?
I don't know about that one.
That was a real popular poster for a while, but I can't remember what it is.
To crash.
Crash, that's good.
I got
but that's not a question for today either, Randall. So
Nope.
I'm kind of screwed.
What do you got, Steve?
I got a trivia question for you. In terms of pounds consumed per person per annum in America.
Per annum.
Per year.
Okay.
Pounds consumed per person per year in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the top four classifications of fish are?
It's probably small stuff, like anchovies.
Nope.
Sardines.
Nope.
Pollock.
Nope.
Tuna.
Cod.
Cod, tuna, salmon, bass.
Tuna.
Tilapia.
Number four.
Oh, that's good. Catfish?
Number four. Catfish aren't in the top four.
Mm. So what are they then?
Shrimp is number one.
Okay.
Shrimp.
Now, if you
tuna,
if that question tuna, had been salmon, asked to salmon. You and shrimp was the answer, you'd argue that shrimp wasn't fish.
I agree.
Yeah.
So they're bugs, it, right?
Shellfish.
Just telling you. I was shocked to see tilapia on there, number four.
Now, the Shelby Index for today's episode is a 3, so our winner should get about 6 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one, the topic is woodsmanship. Which of these outdoor magazines is not real? Is it Fins and Feathers, Fur Fish Game, Game and Fish, or Fish Fur Feather? You might want to write these down. Which of these outdoor magazines is not real? Fins and Feathers, Fur Fish Game, Game and Fish, or Fish Fur Feather. 3 of them are real. 1 of them is not. Again, your 4 choices. Fins and Feathers, Fur Fish Game, Game and Fish, Fish Fur Feather. Steve, do you know this one?
Yeah, I think I do, but I got a problem, but I don't want to bring it up because it'll help people.
All right. Brody's still thinking. Did you write them all out, Brody?
I'm writing.
Okay.
I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, you missed a conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
Yes.
Conjunction, junction. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Is everybody ready?
Yeah, let's do.
Chester, go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying fish, fur, feather. Dan saying fish, fur, feather. Hayden saying fish, fur, feather. Brody
just
saying
to help you
fish.
Out, the whole room said
the
that.
Whole room said fish, fur, feather. They got it right. The correct answer is fish, fur, feather.
Fins I still have feathers. Subscriptions to the other three.
You do.
Fur fish and game, not fur fish game.
It's fur fish game. It's a dash between each of the words. Fur fish game.
There you go.
I used to love that. I still love that magazine.
Dude, that was when I was a kid, man. That was the... I can't remember who their fur analyst was. Parker Dozier was Trapper Predator Caller. I can't remember who that... The market analyst at Fur Fishing Game. That was a good magazine.
I feel like they had strictly illustrated covers, right? They didn't do photos, did they?
Yeah.
I feel like they cornered the market on folks who like to trap, right?
Well, yeah, but you know, Trapper and Predator Caller got good for a long time, you know.
They also had a good classified section where you could like send away for all kinds of weird stuff, you know?
No.
You don't? I don't remember that.
Like the sea creatures.
Like in the back, yeah. No, like traps and...
Oh, okay.
Fins and Feathers was a national publication that ran from the mid-1970s to late 1980s. Furfish Game printed its first magazine in 1925 and still publishes 12 issues each year. Game and Fish has been around since 1976 and still publishes 12 issues each year. Fish Fur Feather is a magazine that I made up by combining the other 3 titles. Question 2. Topic is fishing. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Caleb McLean. For sending this great question, Caleb is going to get a book signed by Steve. Name 2 of the 7 states that list the striped bass as their official state fish. Name two of the seven states that list the striped bass as their official state fish. Good on this crew for getting question one right.
Everyone that is a hard-ass question.
Looking for two of the seven states. Steve, did you ever write for Fur Fish Game?
I don't think I've ever published in Fur Fish Game.
I thought they go back and had your first byline, no? Who had your first byline?
Trapper and Predator. Call. Okay. Hit me that question again.
Name two of the seven states that list the striped bass as their official state fish. Not a very confident room. Oh, Randall with the quickest answer.
Doozy.
I don't know if he's confident or he just wants to intimidate folks.
That is a doozy.
Randall, how you feel about this one?
I feel reasonably confident.
Okay. Two of the seven states.
I'm just okay.
Seven.
Seven of them. Brody, how you doing over there?
I feel like it can only be a certain number of states, right? Okay. And the
seven of them. It can only be seven of them.
Like, Brody's so like
Oklahoma.
That's true.
Like, in a certain, I'm not, you know.
Okay.
It's like.
He said too much, he thinks. Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, Brody. Why are you walking everybody? Why are you walking everybody through it, man?
I didn't. I could have kept going, and then I'd have ruined it.
Chester, how we doing?
Not very good, but
Sam.
Trying to get something down here.
Give me a sec.
Okay. Steve, you think you got a chance?
Oh yeah, man. I'd be shocked if I didn't get one of them right.
Mm-hmm. Chester.
I'm left-handed, and I just keep smearing everything.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Rhode Island and New York, Dan saying Alabama, Mississippi, Hayden saying Rhode Island, New Jersey.
That's good.
Brody saying Maryland, New Jersey.
That's good.
Sam saying Maryland, Massachusetts.
Reasonable.
Chester saying New York, Delaware.
Could be.
Randall saying Massachusetts, Maryland. The seven states are Maryland, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, South Carolina, and Virginia. I think the room did pretty well. Again, the seven states, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Virginia. After brook trout, striped bass are the most common state fish in America. Maryland was the first state to declare the striped bass their official state fish in 1965.
But they don't call it a striped bass.
That's the
rock
weird
fish.
Rock.
I know. Yeah, that's why I didn't put them suckers down.
New Jersey is the latest state to do so, making the striped bass their official saltwater fish in 2017. I think there are two states that designated as a rockfish. But that's a striped bass.
Line
so,
siders.
But I'm saying, if you were in Maryland right now and you looked up their state, what all their state this and that's, would it say rockfish or striped bass?
I can get back to you later on that.
Cause I remember sitting there and we were watching some fish crash bait in a little estuary, and they're like, "Look at them rockfish." I was like, "Man, you guys are smoking."
Was that on that Sika hunt?
Yeah.
You guys been
smoking some of that wacky tobacco.
Yellow eyes in there busting bait.
Question three, the topic is conservation. Johnny Horizon and Seymour Antelope are the official mascots of what federal agency?
What? Can you read that again?
What?
Topic is conservation. Johnny Horizon and Seymour Antelope are the official mascots of what federal agency? Nobody knows this one right off the bat. Folks are just going to be taking a stab. Again, Johnny Horizon and Seymour Antelope are the official mascots of what federal agency? Steve, with a quick answer, how you feel about it?
Well, let's take a broader look.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a perfect game so far.
Okay. Two for two.
So even if I falter right now, it's like, you know, whatever.
Sure. Again, Johnny Horizon and Seymour Antelope.
Yeah.
Randall, with a quick answer. Randall, do you know this?
I do not. Okay. I'm just making a guess based off of context. And I'm really curious to know what Johnny Horizon looks like.
Yeah.
I mean,
kind of like Johnny Bravo, but flatter.
He's very, like, he's very,
very level.
Short. He's, like, very short and wide.
Johnny Horizon and Seymour Antelope. Sam, you going to come up with an answer?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can guess at a government agency.
Okay.
Well, you'll have to do that.
IRS. Yeah. 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 Yep. Here it comes.
Chester, you ready? Hayden, you ready?
Not really, I'm pretty sure I just made something up, but that's fine.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying BLM, Dan saying Game Commission, Hayden saying Federal Prairie Reserve, Brody saying BLM, Sam saying BLM, Chester saying National Wildlife Federation, Randall saying BLM.
Bunch of you guys are naming agencies that aren't agencies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The correct answer is the Bureau of Land Management.
Dude, Room
did
perfect.
Pretty well. Dang. Johnny Horizon was a cowboy who made his debut in 1968. He campaigned for picking up trash, putting out fires, and leaving gates how you found them. Johnny retired in 1976. BLM then debuted their new mascot, Seymour Antelope, in 2008. Seymour is considered an ambassador to young people, encouraging them to connect with nature and explore public lands. Question four. I think
he got a cousin shoot more.
Yeah, exactly.
I think those are pretty good mascots for the BLM.
Yeah.
Question four. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Carl Gustafson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What state is home to the nation's smallest national park, which is just 91 acres? Mm-mm. Brody with the quick answer. Again, the question is what state is home to the nation's smallest national park, which is just 91 acres? Brody, do you know this one?
Well, I'm going with the answer that popped into my head real fast.
No one else has the answer yet. Brody's got it, though. Again, looking for the smallest national park, which is 91 acres.
In a state.
Looking for. You need to tell me what state it's in. The room is struggling, minus Brody. Is the perfect game going to continue, Steve?
No, it's not. Okay.
Your confidence is like 1 out of 50. Is that what you think?
No.
Okay, you got a better chance than that?
Yeah, but the one I'm thinking of isn't technically... Mm. So that can't be right. He wouldn't make a... I mean, he makes some dumbass mistakes, but he wouldn't make a mistake that bad.
I've got a 1 in 50 shot here.
Okay. 2% chance for Chester. Dan, do you have an answer?
I do.
Okay, Sam?
Yep.
Randall?
I'll just leave it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying New York, Dan saying California, Hayden saying Rhode Island, Brody saying California, Sam saying Rhode Island, Chester saying Florida, Randall saying Massachusetts. Nobody got it right. The correct answer is Missouri.
Missouri?
Gateway Arch National Park in St. Louis is 5,000 acres smaller than the next smallest national park, which is Hot Springs National Park in Arkansas. The Gateway Arch is 630 feet tall and 630 feet wide. It was built in 1965 and is meant to symbolize America's gateway to the West.
Why is that not a monument?
That is a weird one.
Yeah, I thought there was some strange little island off the coast of California that was a national park.
Catalina.
No.
Has anybody been to Gateway Arch?
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Oh.
Yep. Was it worth it?
I've been to all that. I've been to that Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's Bill Clinton.
Yeah, if you ride the little elevator up to the top, you can look over the beautiful scenery of Western Illinois, industrial plants. It's just it's gorgeous.
Perfect.
Clay's working on a Bear Grease about the stigmatism of Arkansas.
Mm.
Like, for a long time, Arkansas is the most ridiculed state in the nation. And refuting that stereotype, he's spending some time on Walmart and Clinton.
You like it?
Yep, I was gonna say. Now, he's proud of Walmart.
I shouldn't say in refuting it, but in complicating it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's getting into Walmart, Clinton, and some fancy ass. Art museum that some like
Crystal
World
Bridge.
What is it?
Crystal Bridge.
Yeah, that episode
like
came
complicating
out.
Factors of Arkansas. You know,
that,
it came out.
Yeah, it came out at the time of recording. So on March 8th.
Oh,
well, there you go. Go listen to it.
Good.
Yep, go listen to Bear Grease.
They seem pretty proud of Walmart.
Dude, Clay. One time, Arkansas. Someone was telling us about Walmart's like Walmart's someone that works in manufacturing and supply was telling us about how good Walmart is about ensuring worker conditions overseas. Clay perked right up, dude. He was glowing. he loved hearing
State
it.
State pride.
He's like, can you tell us again about Walmart?
That's funny.
I get giddy now when I encounter just a regular Walmart instead of a super Walmart. Every now and then, I feel like in the Midwest or the South, you come across one, just a regular old Walmart without the grocery store. It's a real treat. Feels like you time traveled.
Yeah. Walmart's pulling out of Portland.
Why?
You know when you see an article but you don't read it?
Question five.
I always start, because I always tell people I read it. I'm going to start changing what I say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Headline.
Question five.
Yeah, I was reading about the article in the headline.
The topic is cooking. This cheese, which is often used in lasagna, has a name that means recooked in Italian. Quick answer from the entire room. This may be 100% correct. Like the first question, this cheese, which is often used in lasagna, has a name that means recooked in Italian.
Definitely didn't spell it right.
Okay, is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. Ricotta. Chester.
That's one of the more off. You're gonna do a little time. That was one of the ricotta. More dumber off-brand questions you've ever done.
Yeah. Everybody says
it's like
ricotta.
The al dente.
Ricotta is correct. Ricotta cheese is made by recooking the whey leftover from making other cheese, which is often mozzarella. It can be used as a substitute for cottage cheese, cream cheese, and mayo. If you want a great lasagna recipe that uses it, then go to themeateater.com and check out Lucas Leaf's recipe for venison fennel lasagna.
I get it.
Steve, when else do you use ricotta besides lasagna? Give me an example. Omelets?
Canola. Yeah, but you'd use it in other things that involve, you'd use it in other concoctions that involve like some sort of pasta and tomato kind of thing. Yeah, that was decent. I don't like that question.
Okay.
I mean, I got it right. How bad could it be?
That's right. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Sure thing. No one's running away with the game, but we have Chester and Dan tied up with 2 points. Sam, Randall, and Hayden have 3 points apiece, and tied for first place, 4 points, are Stephen Brody.
You don't say.
Classic.
Yeah.
Question. You got to take advantage of a 1 point lead over Randall, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he came in hot, you know, like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I told my wife this. I said, Randall won't admit it, but 1% of the reason that he's moving here is so he can play Meat Eater Trivia. And then last episode, Randall says, yeah, I'm just moving here so I can play Meat Eater Trivia. And now I don't think it's a joke anymore, Randall.
I don't know that it has like a causal effect, but okay. It's certainly like confirm that I'm
yeah, it's only
right
200
decision.
Miles. It's not like that. Yeah. It's not like that far of a move. Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. Hey everybody, I'm talking here about Montana Knife Company from our very own state of Montana. This company was founded by one of the most experienced master bladesmiths in the world, Josh Smith, who over recent months I've become friends with. And my God, have I learned a lot about knives from this guy. Just a phenomenal hometown company that makes world-renowned knives. Josh has been making knives for 30 years. You get one of these knives up and open it, it is sharp like something that came from outer space. And here's the deal. They make knives that can be sharpened. You can work on these knives. If you don't want to work on them, you send it to them and they'll work on it. They'll get it sharp. Phenomenal hunting knives. If you want to see them in action, we just did, me and John Hayes, the taxidermist, just did a video about how to properly skin a black bear. Watch that video, and in that video, you'll see Montana Knife Company knives in action. MKC products usually sell out in minutes of being released, which is true. But now, for the first time, they're dabbling with having knives in stock on their site. So right now, you can grab yourself a Blackfoot 2.0 or the Ultralight Speed Goat. Use code MEATEATER, and you get 10% off your first order. Montana Knife Company. Working knives for working people. 10% off with the code MEATEATER. That's a good deal.
Question 6, the topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Jeff James. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out @SpencerNewharth. I'll make it my most recent post. This former NASCAR driver is famous for wearing cowboy hats that often feature pheasant feathers, rattlesnake skins, and raccoon baculums. Pass that around the room. Again, this former NASCAR driver is famous for wearing cowboy hats that often feature pheasant feathers, rattlesnake skins, and raccoon baculums. Randall and Brody didn't even need the picture.
I've seen that guy a million times. Yeah, I don't know his name.
I know.
Brody, is it who you thought it was?
I think so. I mean, hopefully I'm remembering his name right.
Again,
it's not Mario Andretti, is it?
No, he did not look like an Italian.
This former NASCAR driver is famous for wearing cowboy hats that often feature pheasant feathers, rattlesnake skins, and raccoon baculums. We will do Jeopardy rules. If you have the last name, we'll take that. You don't need first name.
I don't really know NASCAR.
Okay. I would suspect that Brody and Randall don't know NASCAR either, but they might recognize this fella.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Did they make a movie about this guy?
I don't know.
Ricky Bobby?
I recognize the Dickens album. Farrell? I can't remember his damn name, man.
I know.
Randall, is that who you thought it was?
I believe so.
Okay.
Unless I'm getting the name wrong.
Again, if you want to see this fella and his hat, go to Instagram. Check out @SpencerNewharth. What are you seeing on those hats there, Steve?
He's looking for the guy's initials on this
hat.
Oh, yeah.
I blurred them out.
Any indicators of who he is?
An embroidered shirt?
Has been blurred out. What's this saying, Steve, that you say? Is it like your hat? Personality can't be
never wear a hat that says hello before you do.
Okay.
Or No, no. Never wear a hat that has more personality.
While
than you
Chester is sitting here in a beaver hat.
But I don't think that violates that, because I'll wear one of those, but I would never be able to wear like that crazy-ass hat that guy's got on.
I would say that the beaver hat says hello before you do that.
I think so, too.
It's cold out. says the weather.
I mean, says by wearing it in a podcast studio, it does.
Says I'm a practical fella who knows how to trap. Does everybody have an answer for who this former NASCAR driver is?
Oh.
Okay.
It just occurred to me. Like,
was this divine or homunculus? What happened?
You didn't see my board.
Let that one go on a long time, didn't you, Spencer?
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Petty.
Oh, man.
Dan saying Richard Petty. Hayden saying Rick Thomas. Brody saying Petty. Sam saying Earnhardt. Chester saying Dale Earnhardt. Randall saying Richard Petty. The correct answer is Richard Petty.
God, it just came to me like, like it flowed through Chester's hat.
Yep.
To me.
Uh-huh. Right out of it.
Well, missing Chester. Sorry.
Yeah, like you know, someone gets struck by lightning and like he doesn't get zapped, but the dude next to him does. It was like the information came into Chester's fur hat, flowed down the table and up my leg into my head.
Although Petty's racing career began in 1968, he didn't start wearing the famous Charlie 1 horse hats until 1980. The flamboyant hats made him a fan favorite, helping him win the most popular driver award 9 times. Petty's hat is so iconic that a signed version is on display at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History.
We're going to get back to hunting and fishing on the next question.
Question 7. The topic is fishing. What body of water is often referred to as Florida's Inland Sea? What body of water is often referred to as Florida's Inland Sea? Quick answers from most of the room. Did not take into account that Steve got off a plane from Florida yesterday. Is that going to help you?
Well, no, because no one told me that.
I think he might have known this before he...
Okay. Again, what body of water is often referred to as Florida's Inland Sea? Does everybody have an answer?
Give me a sec here.
Okay.
I'm just writing it down.
Very confident room. Chester? What'd you just add there to your whiteboard?
Just a letter.
Go ahead. Reveal your answers. Okeechobee. Dan saying Okoboji, which is in Iowa. Hayden saying...
It says Okeechobee.
Okeechobee.
I don't know that says that.
Brody saying Everglades. Sam saying... Boy, these are some creative spellings. Sam saying Okeechobee. Chester saying... Okeechobee. No, what does that say? Let's see it. Okeechobee?
Okeechobee. I added the H in it.
Okay. Okeechobee. Randall saying Okeechobee. They got it. The correct answer is Lake Okeechobee.
We were right there.
Seriously?
I don't think we're going to give it to Dan, who said a lake that is in Iowa. I think he's thinking of Lake Okoboji, which is in the northwest corner of the state, I believe. Brody said the Everglades, which is not right. The Everglades are not the same as Lake Okeechobee.
Well, I didn't think they were.
Okeechobee is the head of the Everglades.
That's right. No. At 734 square miles, Okeechobee is the 10th largest natural freshwater lake in the United States. It's a relatively young lake, forming just 6,000 years ago when ocean waters receded from the minor depression that is the lake bed. Amazingly, the average depth of Lake Okeechobee is 9 feet, and the deepest part is 13 feet.
I was on that mother liquor last week.
Yeah, we had a Airbnb, and there's this, what river was that?
Caloosahatchee.
Caloosahatchee, which connects to Okeechobee, and we were out there trying to catch some bass, and Steve said we never would catch a bass.
Mm, and did you?
Chris Gill caught a bucket mouth.
What happened?
Okay.
It's not what happened. Okay,
I mean, let's hear Steve's side of the story.
Do you want to hear my side of the story?
Sure. Yeah.
There's a little dock on the river, and there's some cattail ponds, and they come back all excited.
$23
rod.
Walmart.
They go
rod.
To a Walmart, buy a rod for $22, and buy a bunch of 10-inch artificials. Uh-huh. And I went down there to survey the situation. It's the kind of place you can't dock hop. You got one damn dock, okay? And I just said, I don't think that's how it's going to go down.
Give us some specifics, Chester, of what you guys purchased.
We purchased a spinning rod.
Okay.
We
like purchased, a Shakespeare, just a standard Shakespeare.
Yeah, rod. Just like a real cheap $23 spinning rod with mono.
Gil said he's never going back to good rods.
I can guarantee you, I'm going back to good rods.
And what were these artificial lures that you had?
It was just a big, long 8-inch worm, okay. And we were Texas rigging them.
Texas rigged, so they had a bullet sinker. They had a bullet sinker on there and a big old Texas.
Man,
rigger.
They should have got some live shine.
I told him, and I came up with a fishing quote. I said, "You're fishing the way you wish the world was,
yes,
and not the way the world is."
Yeah,
and I said, "You go get some crawlers. I'll show you some fish," which they did, and then they started raking and everything under the sun.
I love that about Okeechobee is they're unabashed by using bobbers and live bait. That's like a standard guiding technique.
I was with a guy, and he was booking a client. I was with a bass guy. We were out in his airboat. We went shooting tilapia with our bows. Uh-huh. But he got a call and was booking a client. And the client is paying Captain Bob Stafford. The client is paying to go out bobber fishing with shiners.
It's great.
Yeah, man. That's how they get the giants.
30 to 40 bass days.
It's awesome.
Wow.
Circle hooks. And he's on some body water just north of Okeechobee. Catch and release only circle hooks on live bait.
Isn't it amazing to look out over that whole sea? Think that 13 feet is the deepest it gets.
We caught tilapia, catfish, and a largemouth.
And were those all on the bobber worms as well?
Yes.
How big was the bass?
Some folks call it a Steve rig.
How big was the bass?
Like a 18 inch.
Yeah.
Good bucket mouth.
Well, when they come running back from there, they were thinking they were going to get some 16-pounders out of there, man. It was just...
Question 8, the topic is conservation. White nose syndrome is a disease that's killed millions of these animals in the last decade.
Did you notice I didn't even wait for you to finish?
I did. A couple other folks equaled Steve's confidence. Again, the question is, white nose syndrome is a disease that's killed millions of these animals in the last decade. I think in the race between Brody, Steve, and Randall, Steve won with the quickest answer. Randall and Brody also look quite confident. This is question 8. After this, we will get a scoreboard update.
Maybe we should do a version of trivia with the buzzer deal, whoever rings in first.
Well, we did the holiday edition that was...
That's right.
Timed.
Family feud.
I don't
family
like that feud. Idea.
But then it gets into
and
just...
And not the ding. Buzzer
yeah,
technique.
Yeah, it gets complicated because you ring and you're wrong and I don't know.
I think at some point this year, we're going to try something where you have to wager throughout the game. You can wager your points. We'll see if we like it or not.
What do you mean? Point, like I have five
Yeah, you
answers,
can wager
right?
all five like
final,
if you want.
Like Final
That's
Jeopardy.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
But do it throughout the game. Again, question 8. The topic is conservation. White nose syndrome is a disease that's killed millions of these animals in the last decade.
How specific do we have to
be? If you think the answer is white-tailed deer, you can just say deer.
How long do people have? Because I got a little announcement to make.
Go ahead.
If anyone out there has a print of Eric Von Schmidt's Here Fell Custer, can you send Spencer a note?
Why is that?
I want it for the new studio.
Okay. Send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
Kylie's been trying to track one down for me, but it's hard to find.
And what's it called again?
Here Fell Custer by Eric Von Schmidt.
Here Fell Custer. You know where to get it. Send it to Trivia.
I want a huge one.
trivia@themeateater.com.
We got room for it.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying bats. Dan saying mink, Hayden saying fish, Brody saying bats, Sam saying bats, Chester saying possums, Randall saying bats.
But he didn't even say possums. It was singular.
He said crinner. It's one of them. Millions of possums. The correct answer is bats. White nose syndrome was discovered in America in 2006. It arrived here from Europe or Asia and has been devastating bat populations ever since. It's estimated that about 7 million bats have died from the fungal disease in the last 15 years, and biologists now consider it the greatest threat to North America's native bats. Phil, give us a scoreboard update. We have 2 questions left.
We must say goodbye to Hayden, Dan, and Chet, who played valiantly but are no longer in the running. Sam has 5 points. Randall and Brody have 6, and in first place is Steve with 7 points.
2 questions.
Anybody's game, man. I could falter.
Question 9, that the topic answer is cooking.
Look, listen, if you'd have called it sooner, I'd have been...
I was already savoring that point.
Oh, man, so was I.
The topic is cooking. What coastal American city is famous for its hot dogs that are served with cream cheese and sautéed onions?
What?
Coastal American city?
What coastal American city is famous for its hot dogs that are served with cream cheese and sautéed onions? Randall looks like he might make up some ground here.
Randall, aren't you some kind of hot dog aficionado?
Oh, really?
You're a big hot dog guy.
Wow. What does that mean exactly?
They just taste great.
Okay. Isn't this our second hot dog question?
They serve them in fun places.
Yeah.
We had a question about red snappers.
Yeah,
red snappers.
Probably a month ago. This one, though, is what coastal American city is famous for its hot dogs that are served with cream cheese and sautéed
onions? This is where
onions.
I feel the cooking questions wander way outside the focus of this.
How famous?
If you Google cream cheese hot dog, every single result is going to be this. There is a
restaurant in town that sells one of these, and it is called the blank dog. It's a thing.
Is everybody ready?
The blank dog.
Give me a sec here.
Yeah.
Are they, Randall, have you had one of these dogs?
He's giving hints.
Only a few, though.
Are they good?
Only a few.
My favorite. We're really helping
today
out the room
or
here.
Lifetime.
With that question?
We got a lot going on here. There's a lot on the line, mind you. It's a tight game. Does everybody have an answer?
1 sec.
I just need to beat Shelby.
Shelby and X is 3. We've already surpassed that with Steve's 7 and 2 questions to go. Brody, are you going to get this one?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But I'm still thinking.
Is everybody ready? Brody?
No.
God, I'm struggling to see what this question has to do with anything.
Yeah.
Well, it's a regional preparation, just like we talk about lobster rolls.
Of like the
Maine
thing least
versus...
likely to be made from wild game.
I bet you somebody has wild
besides
game
asparagus.
That's recipe coming up.
Our website
here
has plenty of hot dog and sausage recipes.
It's hard to pull off.
All right. Whatever.
Brody, you ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve, what's that say? Saying Philly. Dan saying Philly. Hayden saying Coney Island.
I think it's Coney Island.
Brody saying Boston. Sam saying Atlantic
it's
City.
Gotta be Philly.
Chester saying Seattle. Randall saying Seattle. The correct answer is Seattle.
Damn.
Randall and Chester
listen,
got it
cream
right.
Cheese. I lived in Seattle, dude. I didn't eat
that's
any hot dogs with cream cheese on them.
You got this wrong. I think that says more about you than Seattle. Here's why.
I
the Seattle dog for that
reason
was invented in Pioneer Square in the late 1980s. It became a late-night staple for food carts to sell to bargoers, becoming the unofficial drunk food of the Emerald City. The hot dog is typically a Polish sausage that's split down the middle and served on a toasted pretzel bun. Randall, did
good
you have a Seattle dog in Seattle?
Yes.
Did you get it like off a food cart, at a ball game, a restaurant? What was going on?
I don't remember. They all kind of run together. But I've had a couple of them.
And,
not my favorite. I'm more of a traditional mustard, ketchup, onions, relish guy.
And Phil, as our person from the Pacific Northwest, what's your familiarity with a Seattle dog?
It's the best hot dog I've ever had was a Seattle dog.
Really?
It's so indulgent. It's really, really good.
And do you just do like a classic cream cheese and sautéed onions?
Yep.
Or do you do sriracha, jalapenos?
Nope, that's it.
Okay.
Polish sausage, cream cheese.
What Brody onions write down?
The pretzel bun is
Boston
big, too.
Chester, did you know that or were you just guessing? Or did you cheat off Randall?
I didn't cheat.
Okay.
I was going to guess Portland or Seattle because I feel like I've just heard that. Like Portland dog, Seattle dog, and I just guess Seattle.
We you know what's funny, man? I put down also. I just realized I put down a non-coastal.
What else? Yeah.
We had a couple of folks who said Philly.
I did too.
I was wasn't going to shame different. Them. I was thinking of, Philadelphia was thinking of the Philadelphia Tea Party, man.
Well, and Philadelphia cream cheese.
When I saw the two Philly answers, I'm like, man, I am pretty ignorant about that part of the country, not knowing that it's on the coast.
I don't even want to. I got too I got too focused on cream cheese and not focused enough.
Right. Same.
Phil, we have one question left. Where do folks stand?
It's a good one. We've got Brody with 6 points and tied up in first place now are Randall and Steve.
Question 10. The topic is am I still hunting. In it? You need these other two to get it wrong and you to get it right.
You're still in it. Oh, that's not going
to happen. This next great question comes to us via Kevin Nowak. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
Kevin, I'm going
to
kick your ass if I don't get this right.
How many states east of the Rocky Mountains have huntable populations of mule deer?
Come on.
Is that it? What's the come on? You don't like the question.
Does it? Does
easy.
The state have hard. To have, what if the state has Rocky Mountains in it?
Well, then that wouldn't be east of the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, it would.
No.
So the entire state has to be east of the Rocky Mountains.
Yes.
Rob.
Looking for how many states east of the Rocky Mountains have huntable populations of mule deer?
Just looking for a number.
Just looking for a number. Brody, how do you feel about this one? You need
pretty good, as long as my definition of east of the Rocky Mountains is correct.
Okay, this takes quite a bit of knowledge about where mule deer live, where the Rocky Mountains are, etc. Good on you if you get this right. Again, how many states east
this
of
is
the
more
Rocky
like,
Mountains?
This is more of a tiebreaker, buddy. It's more of a tiebreaker.
I think you'll be surprised at how well folks do with this question. Randall, how do you feel about this one?
I think I'm plus or minus 3.
Okay.
I'm plus or minus 1.
Okay. And Brody thinks he has it. This is shaping up for maybe a 3-way tiebreaker. Does everybody have an answer?
Listen, man, it should be like name blank number of them. You can't expect people just to have this right.
We'll see.
I think it's reasonable.
Does everybody have an answer? Did you just change your answer, Randall? Randall, you changing your answer?
I did.
Okay. Oh, Hayden's changing his answer.
It's non-consequential. I'm out.
Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying 5. Dan saying 4. Hayden saying 4. Brody saying 6. Sam saying 5. Chester saying 4. Randall saying, is that a 4 or a 9?
That's a 4. I changed it from a 5.
Randall saying 4. We have a correct answer in the room. It's 6. Sending us to a 3-way tiebreaker.
Tell me the 6. Tell me the 6.
Brody, what are the 6 states?
Oklahoma has it.
I think that's what you missed.
Oklahoma,
yeah. The 6 states extend from Canada to Mexico. They are North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Mule deer are occasionally reported in states like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Missouri. But they are often young bucks that wandered in from neighboring states to the west.
Man, if I'd have wrote down Oklahoma, it'd be over.
Now, did you not think they had mule deer? Did you forget about Oklahoma? Did you think Rocky Mountains
went there? I didn't think they had a season.
Okay, they do. So we are going to a 3-way tiebreaker. Play the drop, Phil.
Have we ever had a 3-way
tiebreaker? You ain't first, you're last.
But that doesn't make any sense at all. You first, you're last. You can be second. You can be third, fourth. Hell, you can be fifth.
Phil, when you get a minute, can you redo that? I don't like that one.
You don't like that's Ricky Bobby.
No, I know, but it's like too much of the same thing. It's just a long passage.
Yeah,
it's
I thought
like,
it might
not
have
a medley.
Been. Yeah, sure. You sent me some ideas.
Brody, Steve, and Randall going to our tie-breaking question with 7 correct answers.
I never liked it.
The tiebreaker will be a numerical question. Whoever is closest to the correct answer will be declared the winner. The tie-breaking topic is hunting. What is the last year that ESPN ran hunting content on their network?
Oh, come on.
Brody with a quick answer. Almost.
No,
as if,
I'm just getting my pen ready.
Okay. You will not catch Brody sleeping.
He's
over
moving
there.
The pen over into the area where he's going to write.
That's right. Again, the topic is hunting. What is the last year that ESPN ran hunting content on their network? The only answers that matter are Randall, Brody, and Steve, but the rest of the room can play along if they'd like. Looking for the last year that ESPN had hunting content. Brody, how do you feel about that guess?
I think I'm close.
Okay. Randall?
See, this one's weird, though, because there's no, like, decimal point shit to, like, fall back on.
We've done years before.
I know.
If we need to go to a second tiebreaker, we can do that.
Oh, man, it could go on all day.
Then what's Phil going to play?
Is this, like, regular?
He'll play the clip you don't like twice.
This is like regular programmed.
Yeah, like the
material.
Last time you turned like on ESPN.
On ESPN 1 or 2? Are we including the spinoff
networks?
It's
their whole network.
The Ocho. Remember
I think just cut it at, if you ain't first, you're last. Cut. And then like go into other stuff that's funny.
Steve, I'm worried you're not focused on our tie-breaking question
I'm
here.
Thinking about it.
Okay, have you come up with an answer yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For the last year that they ran hunting content on ESPN. Randall, do you have an answer? I've seen you change it a few times now.
I'm working on my third.
Is everybody ready?
I got to do a little edit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready?
I'm ready.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dan saying 1987, Hayden saying 2005, Sam saying 2011, Chester saying 2007. And the answers that matter.
Why don't you name what Brody has?
We have Brody saying 2008, Randall saying 2001, Steve saying 2005. One of you is within 2 years of the correct answer. The right answer is 2010, making Brody our winner.
What a comeback!
What an amazing comeback! Mm.
Brody came through clutch with the 6 mule deer states and then got within 2 years.
And he was saying it can't be done.
He did feel that way.
Shouldn't have been.
Down.
You know, never,
Brody,
never give up, Steve.
No,
never
that was an amazing performance, man.
That was solid play.
I was so distracted by the fact that I was going to lose. I didn't even think of someone to donate to.
You know what? Brody exemplified right there my maxim. This is be a pessimist in your head, but an optimist in your actions.
That's right.
I feel like he was being a pessimist in his actions as well. By expressing
well, I kept
started
answering
kicking
the
ass.
Questions.
He got everything right from that moment on.
Now, while you think of a donation, Brody, let me tell you this. ESPN announced in a 2010 press release that it was cutting all outdoor television except for bass tournaments by the end of the year. The last hunting show I can find that aired on ESPN was Bill Jordan's Real Tree Outdoors, where David Blanton goes on a once-in-a-lifetime elk hunt in Wyoming. That episode aired on December 19, 2010.
What made it once in a lifetime?
I think it was, you know, a tag that was like, took him 16 years of drawing. He hired an outfit or something like that. Brody, what happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be?
I'm going to do the Mule Deer Foundation.
Ooh, because he came in on that Mule Deer
Besides it being question 10, what else do you like about the Mule Deer Foundation?
Oh, habitat work, access, hunter advocacy, all that stuff.
Well done, Brody.
Oh, amazing game, Brody.
Come back for the ages.
Hey, man, when it's deserved, I'll hand it out. Hell of a comeback.
Well done, Brody. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
I'm not wearing this hat anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're hot?
I'm not hot, but it's giving other people answers. Uh-huh. That's why.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off.
I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.